Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 3.
For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. And today is Saturday, the 21st of July, 2018, and I pray all is well with you and your family. I pray that God is continuing to bless you, encourage you, and strengthen you, that you'll be true ambassadors to Christ and true believers, both faithful and assured of your salvation. So I just want to encourage you today. We're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to get right into our conversation for today. Lord God, we say thank you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for grace and peace, God. I thank you for your healing power, O God, over our bodies, over sickness, O God. Father, we thank you. Say thank you today, Lord God, for life, God, for opportunity, God, to praise you, God, through our lives, God. Show you worship through our lives that we live, O God. We say thank you, God, Father. I thank you for the body of Christ today, the church family, O God. Hear it by blood, O God. Father, I ask that you continue, God, to cover you and protect your church in the midst of these evil and trying times, Lord God. And let that temptation of trials move the church and move your people off of their purpose and their goals, that they would do your will, O God. Strengthen us and keep us, God, that we all will stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father, I pray today for the unbeliever, the non-Christian, the pagan, those, O God, who rejected you, God, that their lives will be turned around, God. There's something will be said today, that something one will say something to them, that will bring a word of change, a word of salvation, a word of deliverance. But until that time comes, God, I say, God, Father, just keep them, God, in a place, God, that they might hear the gospel, God, before their time ends. Lord, this is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Saturday, the 21st of July. Again, and I say good morning to you. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. If you called in at 646-668-2636, then press 1 on your keypad, and you can join the conversation, ask any questions, or be part of our discussion today. I see you out there, and I appreciate you for calling in. Also, those listening at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, thank you again for being listening online. And we always encourage you to take the opportunity to call in and talk to us live. We're here on Mondays and Thursday at 8 p.m. and Friday mornings at 9 a.m. So I just wanted to encourage you, and I thank those who called in and those who are listening. Well, first, let me begin with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God. Because what we believe as Christians, as men of God, is we believe that God made everything, and that's including me and you. His main purpose in the creation is to bring him pleasure. The chief way in which we can bring him pleasure as humanity is by loving, obeying, and enjoying him perfectly. But because of the sin of Adam, because of Adam's sin, all of human race was cast into and was separated from God because of what Adam has done. Because this is rebellion. But God, even in the book of Genesis, even in the beginning, when Adam knew what Adam would do, he already said and planned a process. He promised. He made a vow that he would righteously and lovingly judge sinners with eternal death because of disobedience. But yet, even in the midst of that, God was merciful, loving, and gracious, and just, so that he would send his own son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of man, to fulfill his perfect requirement, to pay the price for the sinners, pay the price for you, me, Adam, your mother, your father, your children, your grandchildren. Jesus Christ came to pay the price for us all, the price of sinners. All we have to do in loving obedience and enjoying him perfectly. The Son Jesus bore the eternal judgment of God. He, again, our salvation and what we're saved from is not from hell or the devil, because hell was created specifically by God as a place of punishment for the devil and the angels who rebelled against him in heaven. But yet, we need salvation from the wrath of God, his eternal punishment, which is death. So, to fulfill that eternal judgment, Christ died on the cross on Calvary. He sacrificed himself. He took on the full anger and wrath of God upon himself because he was the perfect man without sin. And that paid the price for us as sinners. So Jesus Christ stood in the place of the sinner, of all the sins and sinners of all the human race, because he was a perfect and sinless man. And God recognizes his sacrifice by raising him from the dead on the third day. And now us as human beings, if we come to faith and depend and trust on what Jesus did, that he was a substitute for the price that God quoted, the price that God required for sin, that he was our substitute. So by faith, we believe that Christ died for us and he was raised from the dead and God accepted his perfect sacrifice. So we are no longer sinners. We're no longer enemies of God. We are now instead adopted children, sons and daughters, and we live in perfect righteousness. Because when God sees us, he sees his son. And we are called to be in perfect obedience to Christ because when we trust in him and depend on him, he becomes our Lord and our Savior. And by being our Lord, we are obedient to the things that he commanded, the things that he teaches that we ought to live by. And then he also gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit for every believer that lives inside of you, that we cannot do this thing on our own flesh, on our good merits, or on our own willpower, but surrendering to the power of God which lives in us through the Holy Spirit. So God will judge the world in righteousness, and for all those who are covered by the righteousness of Christ, and depend on him are forgiven from all of our sins, past, present, and future. So therefore, we must, as sinners, turn from our sin, repent, and receive Christ as Lord, and be obedient to him. This is the gospel, simple gospel's message. And I just wanted to encourage you, those of you who heard it, if you have any questions, I need any answers, any more understanding or detail, we always encourage you to call in. Ask us, ask your Christian friends, ask, go to a church. We always say about when we talk about people visiting churches, I encourage you to go find out when the church's Bible study is, because that is the most appropriate format to be able to get all your questions answered. Even if your Christian friend that you know, the person you know who's been evangelizing to you over the years, if they can't answer it, go to the church. Let the more mature saints be able to answer quick questions, because the Word of God is the answer, the Bible has all the answers for life, for man, for living this life. For every area of life is covered in the Bible and how we should live in obedience to Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, again, I thank you for joining me this morning. Today, we're going to touch a little bit about evangelism. We've been talking about evangelism here at Issues Christian Men's Talk for the last couple of shows. So I'm going to continue that conversation today a little bit and just share some encouraging for the body of Christ. For my believers out there, for those brothers and sisters who've been in the church for a while, the summer thing times here is an opportunity to meet a lot of churches, do a lot of things and go on outreach. But if your church, and let me say this about evangelism, because it's important to know that this is a, we have to get into a habit, we have to set a culture, we have to set an environment for evangelism in our churches and in our lives. And we have to be on target, on point, and prepared to be able to share the gospel with the good news of Jesus Christ. Because the way things, if we look around the world, we know, as Christians, we know that end times are here. Christ is coming back soon. But yet, we are called to evangelize. That's our purpose. That's our greatest purpose. That is what God put, that is why God saved you. Because there's someone out there who's going to only hear the gospel from you. You know, we go to churches to be filled, to be prepared, to go out and minister, just as Jesus did with his disciples. He pulled those men in, those 12 men in, taught them, prepared them, filled them with the Holy Ghost, and sent them out to share the good news of the gospel of his coming. And that's what we're called to do as disciples of Christ. And when we reach that point, when we reach that point of maturity, that point of understanding, that we can tell somebody. And even in that, it doesn't matter if you've been saved a year, 2 years, 30 years, 15 years, 5 years, or a week. If you could tell someone why you believe in Jesus Christ, that's evangelism. You're telling someone why, what, how your life changed, what's different, how you think different, how you see the world different, how you behave differently, how you see other people different because of the, because you accepted Jesus Christ in your life. You believe what the Bible says about God and about Jesus and about who he was and why he came. So that's what basically what evangelism is for every man, woman, and child who professes the name of Christ and professes to be a Christian. You're telling someone what you know about God, right where you are. You don't have to be a theologian. You have to go to Bible class, Bible college. We start with, what has God done for us? Share that with someone. Let them understand the things that you went through and the things that God helped you overcome. He set you free from, he delivered you from sin. And most of all, who is Jesus Christ? Since scripture asks, who are men? Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And we should be able to, if someone asks us, who do you say Jesus is? We should be able to tell them. We should be able to share that information. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He paid the price of my sins, past, present, and future. And because of him, I stand before God as righteous as his son, not his enemy. And that's the gospel. Anything after that, we just continue on. And we can go into the theological study. We can go into the other things in the Word of God. But we start with where we are and who we are and what God means to us. Amen? Amen. So today I just want to really touch again. We want to start to set the atmosphere and an environment of evangelism in our hearts, in our minds, in our churches, in our local congregations, in our gatherings, in our homes and in our lives. That we have to see it as not necessarily a responsibility to evangelize, but it's a privilege. It's a privilege to tell people about the things of God. We're called to be people that were the ministry of reconciliation. This is something that God calls us to do, to be. We are our ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile the human race, every man, woman, and child, your cousin, your aunties, your co-workers, your neighbors, we're called to reconcile them. And it's a privilege to be able to reconcile them back to the true and living God. Every time someone walks across the line of faith, they are a new creation. A new creation happens in the heart. It's a miracle. And we have the privilege of being able to bring miracles here on earth. I know that miracles and a lot of things, we tie a lot of things to miracles and supernatural events, especially in this present time. I'm not going to even try to defend or explain miracles because you can't really explain it. It's a natural, supernatural thing. But the miracles I do believe are the ones I read in Scripture. Those are the first miracles. I've seen miracles. I've seen people healed. I've seen other things happen in people's lives. And that we have to understand someone giving their life, truly giving their life and coming to faith in Jesus Christ and accepting him as Lord and Savior, understand that they are no longer God's enemy, and now he's their son. That's a miracle. That they're a new creation because all past things are up. All their past sins are forgiven and passed away, and God's not going to bring them up again. So it's not just that we have to, but we get to. For us as believers, as mature saints, we get to. We get to tell people about the loving and true God and what he's done in us. That's the thing about evangelism. I mean, there's a lot of schemes, a lot of teachings, but start with what you believe in God. Tell somebody what you believe in God and why. What you believe and why you believe. That's all anyone who is a Christian needs to do and explain to someone. They can get into the details, we can get into the historical, we can get into the proofs, but tell, if you can passionately explain to someone why you believe and what God has done for you and why you believe it, that's where we start at. Because it's a conversation and we all know it's a process. for my saints out there, for my theologians and my focal study, that sanctification process, as we all know, is an ongoing process. It's all of our lives, from the day that we accept Christ until the day we stand before him in glory or he comes back. We are being sanctified every day. So every day we mature, we learn more, we understand more. God reveals more to us as we study the word, as we pray, as we in fellowship, as we are taught. Again, because remember, it's a natural part to it. We have to teach and understand. We have to know who God is and know what we are and know why we are saved. It says Jesus took 3 years to teach the disciples to send them out. But he didn't send them out until after he died, gave his life, was risen from the dead on the third day, and then indwelt them with the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of them. And as every Christian, we have that same power that rose Christ from the dead, the same power that gave Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to endure their things. The same power of God that lived within the saints of old lives within us now. Amen? Amen. So as Bible-believing Christians, we give explanation to why that there's no really reason why we don't. I mean, I hear a lot of folks tell a lot of reasons and have excuses about why they don't share their faith, but we're called to. As Bible-believing people, we're called to. It's not necessarily spiritual. It's just something that we just have to do. We're called to. We're justified. It's a privilege to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone and have God use them and God turn their lives around and God heal them. So we have to be consistent. We have to be honest in our teaching. We have to be just... It's just something we have to get into our spirit about. I mean, we have to, every person that's listening today, that if you're saved and you've been in the church a while, you've been saved a while, and you're a professed Christian, you've been a Christian for years. But who have you lately consistently mentored, discipled, outreached to? And outreach, when we talk about outreach and evangelism, it comes in a lot of forms. Sometimes we provide for people. We take care of people. You know, we do a lot of feeding, giveaways, home giveaways, feeding the homeless, go out to communities, give out groceries, give out back-to-school supplies. We do a lot of serving and things to meet people's physical needs in this season, in this time, helping the poor, the elderly. But if we don't tell them about Jesus Christ, it's all for naught. No matter how comfortable we make someone's life here on earth, they have eternity where their soul is going to last. And if we did all those things, if we feed the homeless, we feed the hungry, the homeless, and give them clothes and shoes and, you know, all the things we think we're doing good. Remember, the purpose and the reason the church is here is the gospel and to evangelize the gospel to the whole earth. Jesus gave us a great commission and great commandment. These are the things that we should be focusing on. All those other things are avenues and conduits to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because our works without Christ is useless and dead. I mean, you can feed somebody every day. You can clothe people. You can give groceries away. You can, you know, you can provide their temporal, these natural things in people's lives. But if we don't share the gospel message, plant the word of God into people's hearts, as we're serving and giving to them, we're failing miserably. So I just want to, we have to understand how are we called to reach? There's a lot of strategies, a lot of things we do to get people's attentions. But if we're not sharing the gospel, if you go out and feed 500 people, homeless people, on the street with soup and clothes and shirts and ties and socks and underwear and deodorant and toiletries, but you have not told them the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have not told them why you're there, you have not planted a word of God in their hearts, you have failed miserably because they remember, their soul is still going to end up in hell. And that's why, as Christians, men, women, and children, and as men, we are concerned with the souls of people's souls. Have we done all we can do to save a soul from eternal damnation, eternal separation from God, and eternal punishment? Remember, hell was not created for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and his demons. But yet, in rebellion to God, we stand in that same place. And sometimes it's also disciplining people to understand that it's a spiritual battle. When we have a culture of evangelism, it's a battle. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual realm. Because the devil knows exactly what heaven is like. He's been there and was kicked out. He was jealous of the creation God made in human beings. And he wants to see as many human beings as he can to be punished like he's going to be punished. Because he already knows his future and his destiny. So, again, I didn't want to go into the theological teachings and scripture, but understand this, that Satan was in heaven with God, rebelled against God, and he knows what his eternal judgment is. He knows, but yet he tries to get as many of human beings, of man's creation here on earth, spend time with him, to be in eternal separation from God because he's jealous. His jealousy is what caused him to rebel against God. And again, if you're listening online, if you're listening at www.blogtalkradio.com, folks, as you can far, I encourage you to call in. You can call in to 646-268-2636, and you can ask questions, and we can go to scripture, we can talk about it. But I just want to send a word of encouragement now to men, to husbands, fathers, and sons, on who we're supposed to be as men, as we lead in the community, as we lead in churches, as we lead in our homes. And we have to be able to first evangelize in our homes, everyone in our house. Do we speak a word? Do we pray for them? Do we encourage them? Do we share the gospel with them? Do we understand that God has the answers for their prayers? Do we explain to them what it means to repent and forgive? Are we doing the things in our home? Because that's where we are first called to as husbands and fathers, in our homes, with our wife and with our children. So I encourage you today, brothers, stand up, set the atmosphere, set the environment in your homes, and then it can carry from your home into your churches. Importance of evangelism, importance of going out and reaching the lost. There's real truth. You know, it's nothing new. These gospels come at you, and we have to be able to answer. When folk come to ask us about the gospel, ask about Christ, are we preparing ourselves as Christians to answer the non-Christians' questions? It's as simple as that. It's something that we have to, it's studying. You know, I like to put it this way. We study for everything. We study for high school diplomas. We engage our children to study to graduate from school, third grade. We want to see them progress in the temple world, in the education. We want to see them get degrees and master's degrees and PhDs and bachelor's degrees. All these things, it is a process, and we encourage, we say the atmosphere of education is valued. We do all these things, but what are we doing in the church, in the spiritual realm for growth of people? You know, sometimes I think we cop out a lot because we talk about people grow at different rates. But again, my scenario is if your child was in first, second, or third grade and they was having problems achieving the expectations of the milestones in the natural realm, what would we do? Would we get it tutors? We would start helping them. If we couldn't help them, we'll pay for tutors. We'll pay for extra school programs, send them to, all kinds of things. So we send them to summer school. We do a lot of things to help their temporal education. But now what do we do when these things of God, when it comes in the spiritual realm, the things of God? Are our children in Bible study? Do churches have Bible studies? Do churches have a gathering? Do churches have Bible studies for children? Are we teaching children? Are we teaching young people in the faith? Folks, I don't care if they're 50, 60, 80, 70, 30 years old, but if they're new to the faith, are we nurturing and making them into disciples and teaching them to grow in their faith? Do we encourage growth? Do we set an environment of, again, along with evangelism, are we setting an environment of expectation for growth in the spiritual realm? I'm just saying, because we do a lot of things. Our children are in high school. They're in AP this, advanced that. They're in these classes, they're tutored. Again, if that come about, we pay for excess SAT tutoring. We're trying to get kids on their reading levels and their math levels up. Our jobs, some of us, some of our jobs, there's in-service training, there's certificate programs. If you work in the IT world, you get a network training. We keep building our skills, we're honing our skills, we hone all these things in the temporal realm. But what, again, are we doing in the spiritual realm? And I think that's part of setting a standard, setting an atmosphere, and setting the culture for evangelism, outreach, and spiritual growth. Are we truly, truly? And then some of this is just finding out where people have to be in attendance. Something I learned along was in discussion at a men's group. And if we look at our high school, I'll take high school graduation because I don't want to offend anybody. But understand this: in high school, from the valedictorian to the last to the person with the lowest grade point average in the school, but all of them got a diploma because they had to achieve a certain level. And why we don't have the same thing in the spiritual realm, that we have expectation. We encourage each other. We have a lot of scriptures we use as cliches, but what does that mean? Am I a brother's keeper? Is iron truly sharpen iron? that we can encourage each other and help each other grow in the things of Christ, that when Christ comes, that no man will be left behind and say, they did not know, they did not do, because no one showed me. No one cared for me. Jesus cared for those 12 disciples for 3 years and before he left, and then empowered them. So are we helping people to grow to that level? Are we helping people grow in their spiritual realm, in our confidence? If we're mature saints, what are we doing for those coming behind us spiritually? Do we have a spiritual legacy of people that we discipled, that we mentored, that we encouraged along the way? And it's not about titles. It's not about age. It's about the spiritual connection and helping everyone, helping us walk together. Because if two can agree, only the way two can walk together is if they agree. So, again, I just want to encourage today the brothers, men, husbands, and fathers. Set an atmosphere of evangelism. It can start with the men. It can start with you today, brother. It's you who start to nurture a culture of evangelism in your home. You know, teaching the basics. What happens when you die? If you die today, are you assured that you're going to heaven? Ask that brother you sit next to every day in church that you see every week, or you don't see every week, or you see every other week. Ask them, are you sure when you die you're going to heaven, and why? Engage each other. Encourage each other. That's what iron sharpens iron is. Iron sharpens iron is not sitting down and having some pancakes together and drinking some coffee and being entertained. Iron sharpens iron means that we're rubbing up against each other. We're starting to show character. We're showing concern. We're checking each other. We're just spending some time. Some of you call it in our man-up events, and you're checking each other's oil. If your oil is low spiritually, you leave yourself open for breakdown, for failure, for sin, for being tripped up, and fall victim to temptation. Amen? Amen. So today, I just wanted to continue. I encourage you, encourage the men, encourage the brothers out there. Press in to be the man that God has called you to be. Press in and set nurture the culture of evangelism. And just reach out today. Reach out to someone. This week, I encourage every brother that's listening, invite three people to a Bible study. Invite three people to a Bible study. Not necessarily a Sunday service, but to a Bible study, that they can be able to see the church in questioning and learning and teaching and growing. You know, let them, how you say it for my college folk out there, you don't have to pay nothing. Just audit the class. Audit a Bible study and find out what it needs to be. For my unsaved people, unbelievers, and non-Christians, find a church, show up at their Bible study, ask some questions. Because just ask, how do they know they're going to heaven? That's from every unbeliever that's listening to me today. You know someone who professes to be a Christian, ask them how they know to go to heaven and what you must do to be saved. And it begins there in the simplicity of it all. Because it's by faith we are saved alone. Not by works, not by anything. It's by our faith in Jesus Christ and believing who God says he was and what the Bible says he was and what he's done. Again, the gospel of Jesus Christ is what Adam has done or what Christ has done. That's the simplest. I cut through all of it from there. Because of what Adam has done and because of what Christ has done, we can be saved. We need Christ. And why do we need Christ? Because of what Adam's done. And what Christ has done for us, he reconciled us back to a true living God, to God the Father. Amen? Amen. So, you've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to thank you for joining me today on Saturday the 21st. I encourage you to continue to press in, continue to be men of God, continue to be the leaders in the home, the leaders in the community, and the leaders in your churches. I want to close this with a quote from Charles Stanley's book, Man of God. This quote is something I read a couple years back when I first read the book, and I just wanted to keep that in the forefront of your mind and your thinking. Because we want to identify what a man is, what a man of God, what a Christian man is. And we want to identify that by this. Again, this is from the book Man of God by Charles Stanley. And it says, a real man is one who understands and accepts the responsibility for the development of his mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity, and demonstrates this by his maturing attitude and actions in his personal life, in his home life, in his vocational life, in his social life, and his spiritual life. Amen? So again, let me say that again. that a real man takes responsibility. He accepts responsibility and understands responsibility for the development of his mental, emotional, spiritual capacity. Demonstrates this by his maturing attitudes and actions in his personal life, his home life, in his vocational life, in his social life, and his spiritual life. This is the definition of a man. Amen. Again, we take the word of God. We measure ourselves the word of God. You don't measure yourself to me, the Deacon Farr, to the deacon of your church, to your pastor, to your elder, your archbishop, your district bishop. That's not the standard. The standard is the word of God for your life. Because God created all for purpose, created all as individuals. And again, there's someone out there who's only going to hear the gospel from you. They're not going to hear it from your pastor. They're not going to hear from the archbishop at the convocation. They're not going to hear it at the conference. It's going to be you going into the neighborhoods, into the street, people in your circle of influence, and you speaking the word of God, telling people about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. And that's how someone is going to hear the gospel and get saved, and their lives will be come to God, and God can use them. And you have done what God has created you for. You fulfilled the purpose. So, brothers, I continue to live a life to edify the body and to glorify God. And I thank you and praise you. Continue to be the man that God has called you to be. Amen. And thank you for joining me.
To give me a praise, I will.